course, the main episode of Parshas Toldos is Yaakov Avinu taking the brachos. Vayomer Yitzchak el bino, mazem ihartol imtso bini. Here Yitzchak sent him to bring matamim, to bring meat, and all of a sudden, you know, before he blinks, Yaakov, thinking it's Esav, comes back, and he presents his father with good old flesh, right? How did this happen? Vayomer, and if you have a pen, you want to underline the next few words. Ki hikra Hashem Elokecha lefonai. Hashem organized it in such a way that very quickly I was able to find and retrieve this meat and bring it to you. And then the story goes on to tell us that Yitzchak is a little bit suspicious, and he touches Yaakov to see if he's the hairy Esav, and so forth and so on. Okay. Amar Yitzchak Oliba, Rashi is famous for saying the following: Ein derech Esav Leo Shem Shamayim Shogur Befiv. Why is Yitzchak suspicious? Because in pasuk Chaf, Yaakov, in response to Yitzchak's query, says Hikra Hashem Elokecha Lefanai. You know, naming God. That's not usually the language of an Esav. And as a result, we're going to see that in pasuk Chaf Beis, Yitzchak says Hakol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav. Some of the most famous words in the Torah. Rashi says, "Shemidaver b'loshon tachnunim." Rashi puts the emphasis on the words "ki hikra Hashem elokecha lefanai," and now, you know, Yaakov is asking. By the way, I apologize up front. Every time I say Yaakov, I mean Yitzchak, and vice versa. I always mess this up, but I'll try to get it right. But I have a tendency of.
Rabbi, I will excuse you today.
Yeah, just today. Okay, good. Okay, so what happens? So Rashi says that when Yaakov asks for the bracha, He says to his father Yitzchak, "Kum na." Na is a lashon of tachnunim. You know, please bestow upon me the blessing. Esav doesn't speak that kind of language. You know, when Esav speaks, as we'll soon see later on in the psukim, he says, "Yakum avi." In other words, get up and give me the bracha.
He said, "Halitaini na."
Oh, he did say Ali Tani no, so we'll give him credit for that. Yeah, that's good.
I heard of Shalonet that he meant it fast, and then no means raw, not please.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no can mean many different things, like in Karban Pesach, right? Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv Anochi Esav Bechorecha Asisi Kasher Dibarta Elai Kum na. Please get up, right? That's the lashon of Tachnunim, as he spoke about. And Shvavi Achla Mitzidi Bavur Tevarcheni. Nafshech. Then we compare it to a few psukim later in the case of Esav Vayaskam Humat Am Vayovi Liovi Vayomalov Yakum Avi Viyochal Mitzed Beno Bavur Tvarcheni Nafshech. So there are a lot of words here that are identical in both Yaakov's statement and in Esav's, but there's one major difference. Whereas Yaakov says Kumna, Esav says Yakum Avi. Yakum Avi. Now, what we're going to soon see as we develop this, based on the Chasam Sofer, and also based on Rav Nosson Adler, who's the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, is that in Hebrew, in Hebrew grammar, There are two types of ways of addressing someone. One is called nochach, and the other is called nistar. In the case of nochach, I talk to you directly. In the case of nistar, I talk to you in third person. Now, if you don't want to cheat on me, don't look at the next couple of sources and just give me your sort of knee-jerk response. In what would you guess if you had a choice between Yaakov and Esav? One is going to use the Lashon Nistar and speak to his father in third person. The other is going to use Lashon Nochach and speak to his father in second person, addressing him directly. Where would you, in the matching, where would you put it? Yeah, Jeremy, what would you say?
Yaakov would be the third person.
Correct, that Yaakov would be the third person. Okay, so good, you got the right answer for me, but it's the wrong answer, okay? Which I wanted you to get the wrong answer, because this is going to be counterintuitive. Because if you take a look at Esav, Esav says to his father, Yakum Avi, my father should get up. That's what? Third person. That's called Lashon Nistar. Esav uses Lashon Nistar. If you take a look, by contrast, in the case of Yaakov in Pasuk Yutes, he says, Kum Na, you get up, please. Again, in Lashon Taknunim, but he's speaking to him directly. I guess you'd call it second person. That's called Lashon Nochah. So why is it that Yaakov uses Lashon Nochach, whereas Esav uses Lashon Nistar? And this is going to be the subject of a Rebbe and a Talmud. The Rebbe is Rav Nosson Adler, and the Talmud is the Chasam Sofer. By the way, I think we may have discussed this on previous occasions. The Chasam Sofer, I don't know what word to use, worshipped Rav Nosson Adler, his Rebbe. I mean, to the extent in which if you said the Rebbe's name in front of the Chasam Sofer, he started shaking. His body started shaking. In any event, that's just on the side. So the Sefer of Rav Nosson Adler, which is very short and concise on Chumash, is called the Toras Emes, and he says the following, that in Pasuk Yutes, Kum Na, Diber Imo Yaakov, Kiderech Shebnei Yisrael Medabrim El Avosehem Me'oz. Me'oz means it's always been accepted. It's part of the tradition of the relationship between the younger generation and the older generation, between the son and his father, to speak in the language of Kum Na. Kum is a direct Lashon Nochach. Aval Esav, he represents the nations of the world. Hayamidaber im aviv b'lashon nistar yakum avi kiderech shanochrim medabrim. The way that the Goyim get used to speaking is b'lashon nistar. So Esav is really just a prime example, or perhaps the father or the paradigm of the lashon nochrim kiderech shanochrim medabrim, and therefore he says yakum avi b'lashon nistar. Whereas Yaakov, representing the way that Bnei Yisrael speak to their father, it's going to be in lashon nochach. He's going to say to his father, Kum. No, not Yakum, but Kum.
So then why would we speak to somebody in authority, or a rabbi, for instance?
So that's the question for today. Okay, we're very, very excited that we can try to get a grasp on this. But again, does everybody see it at least in the Psukim? Right? That Rashi is talking about Kol Yaakov, that Yaakov speaks in a very different way than Esav, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk Kum Na, and then when we fast forward to Esav, it says Yakum Avi, may he get up, which sounds like a more respectful way of speaking. It's third person, and yet, to our surprise, Rav Nosson Adler sees Yaakov in the way he speaks to his father in a direct way as being paradigmic of the way a Jew speaks to his father, whereas Esav, speaking in third party, that's paradigmic of the way a guy speaks to his father. And the one who's trying to flesh this out and understand Rav Nosson Adler's basic principle is his Talmud Chasam Sofer. And that's in Toras Moshe, which is a classic on Chumash. We're going to try to understand what the Chasam Sofer is saying, and his proofs from various other psukim in the Torah. Hagon HaChosid Morenu HaRav Nosson Adler Zecher Tzadik Livracha Omar, and then he repeats word for word what we saw in the Torah's Emes. Umaran Hagon Zatzal Hizbir. Okay, that's on line 5 of that paragraph. Meaning, this is what I heard from my Rebbe. It's not in the written text, and sometimes the embellishment has to come from the oral transmission, the Torah Sheval Peh. And he says the following. Hisbir de Lashon Nochach, what's the advantage of Nochach, meaning when I speak to my father directly, Mora it indicates kirvus v'dibuk. So Rabbo said there's an advantage to nochach, and there's an advantage to nistar. Each one has a plus and a minus, if you will. And we're going to try to see on the balance, on the scales, which is preferable and why. The advantage of nochach, when I speak to you directly, and I say to my father, you, is kirva and dibuk, a certain closeness which, in a sense, spans the generation gap, if you will. And where do we find such a thing? The greatest or loftiest occasion in which we speak to a being with a capital B in a respectful way is going to be our speech to whom? To Almighty God. And he says when we speak to Almighty God, we say, we use Lashon Nochach, Baruch Atah. We say to God, you. And why is that so? Because Anu Dvukim Bo. Because we are so connected to God, as the Pasuk says, Atem Advekim Vashem Elokeichem, is therefore Klal Yisrael, representing the nation that's Medubakim, that we are connected to Hashem, we will speak to God in the second person in Lashon Nochach. But further than that, not only in the way we speak to God, but in the way we speak one Jew to the other, it's again going to be in the Lashon of Dveikus. Why? Because Yisraelim Midubakim Ze Baze Kiguf Echa. The theory, the thesis of the Chasam Sofer is that the language of Nochach, speaking directly as it were to our fellow Jew, is so appropriate because it reflects this relationship between one Jew and the other, which is called Midubakim Ze Baze. The essence or the unique nature of Klal Yisrael is that they are Guf Echad. And that's going to reflect itself in the way they address one and the other. Now applying that to the case of a son and a father, says the Chasam Sofer, Ubra Mezake of Abba. This is a dual partner, a two-way mutual partnership agreement in which the son is an extension of his father, and things that he does is for the benefit of his father. Mekaimo. We have to realize that in Judaism, the responsibility of a son vis-a-vis his father is an awesome responsibility, and that's a result of this concept of dveikus, that we are together. And if we are together in a state of dveikus, which I hate the English translation of dveikus to cling. I don't know, it just doesn't cling for me. Is medabrim, it's got to express itself in the language we choose. Beloshen nochach. The loshen nochach has the advantage, as we said before, of dveikus. And even if it means that we have to give up a little bit on the reverence element, right? The relationship between a son and his father is a dual relationship. On the one hand, it's one of dveikus. They're working together as a partnership towards the same goal. We saw it by the Akedah. You remember the Pasuk says, Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov, right? That Yachtov. And the Yachtov represents not only the relationship between one Jew and another, but the relationship between a son and his father in Judaism. And that has to be expressed in the Lashon Nochach. That Lashon Nochach is appropriate as an expression for Dveikus, of Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov. Avalosha Nistar, when you use the third person, what does that always express? What does that always indicate? The opposite of kirva, of closeness, is what? With a capital D?
Distance
is distance. He says, Losha Nistar, why do I speak in a reverence, in a distance? Because what I'm saying is, Hainu ki'ilu eini kedai. I'm not worthy, Ladaber Imo, to speak to him. It's almost as if I'm addressing another person. I can't address him directly. In the case of my father, I can't address my father directly because the element of dveikus is now completely subjugated, but rather, I don't deserve to address you, Dad, so therefore I address him as if I'm speaking to someone else. V'chazal amru shebe'esav. Right, we're going to have later on the Sukim at the end of Toldos, I think, are going to record the Alufei Esav. You remember that parsha, with all those names there that you can break your teeth in? And in that pasuk it says, Nafshos Besom. that these are the nefashos of the bayis of Esav, and Chazal say on that pasuk nafshos beisam, that why is the plural used with regard to Klal Yisrael? Always says nefesh, right? He says that nafshos. He doesn't tell you where this Chazal is, but I think I've seen it before, either in Medrash or maybe in Rashi. I don't remember. Kol echad yeshlo Elohim acher. Every guy has a different god, you know, his own little idol, his own little getchka. And that's called nafshos. Nafshos means they're split, they're divided, you know, they fight over who is the real god. And therefore, tachlis acher, each one has an ultimate goal or a purpose unto himself. You know, this one worships Par, and this one worships Akulius, and everyone has their own favorite religion, favorite god. So it's a different tachlis. Lekach, therefore, it's appropriate, benachrim, shehem prudim. Prudim means that they're separated, right? They're split, not unity, but the opposite of unity is omer. Therefore, the way they address one another, or certainly in the case of a son who addresses his father, is yakum avi b'lashon b'lashon nistar. Let me just make a bracha. Bracha tori. No, they know chalom. Call me avi dvar. Where does the Chassam Sofer see this relationship between a son and a father as being a kind of a unity relationship, a dveikus of father and son? And he sees it in the parsha in Re'eh of what we call the Mesis, and there it says, Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. Right, those who learned Masechta Sanhedrin recently will remember this pasuk. It's a major pasuk in Masechta Sanhedrin. And there it says that O bincha, O bitecha, O eshes chekecha, O reacha, asher kenafshecha. Now take a look. The description here of the relatives includes the mother, includes the son and the daughter, includes the wife, and then it goes on to friends. But one relative here seems to be left out of the list. It's omitted. Which relative is that?
The father.
The father's left out. So Rashi says in the name of Chazal that the father is not left out, but rather he's indicated in that extra two words at the end, Asher kenafshecha. He is like your soul. Who is that person? Why does the Torah add another category, but hiding it? Rashi says, Ze avicha. The relationship between a son and a father is indicated by the language of the Torah called kenafshecha. Rashi says, kenafshecha ze avicha. And again, the emphasis here is not on reverence and distance, not on the awe, but rather on love, on ava, on oneness, on dveikus. That's the essence of the relationship between a son and a father. What we have to figure out is how to create that relationship. And it's not easy. You know, we live in a contemporary world of generation gap. And it's so easy to lose it. And somehow the son feels alienated from his father. And he leaves on his own. But the ideal that we have to strive for in educating and in raising our children is the ideal of Vayelchu Shneim Yachtov, right? It says at the beginning of this week's parasha, Eilid told us Avram, and it says Avram Holiness Yitzchak. I mean, there's a repetition here, but you know, Eilid told us Avram is not enough. Told us means that he gave birth to Yitzchak. But the pasuk goes ahead and says, Eilid told us Avram Avram Holiness Yitzchak. The Ibn Ezra is famous for saying that Holid means Gidel, that he raised him. It's not just a biological relationship between a father and a son. That's a cinch. But the real challenge is Gidel, is to become a part and parcel of one's son's life. And the son looks to his father as a friend, as someone who loves him and someone who cares for him. He's kenafshecha. The parsha in Vayigash, again, the same kind of concept, but here it's in the reverse. Here the Torah does use the word av. And Rashi says in that parsha in Vayigash, li av means, what does the word Av mean? You and I say, if I asked you for a translation of the word Av, you would immediately say what it means, a father. But that's not really what it means in Lashon Kodesh. Semantically, or etymologically, the real translation of Av is Lechaver Ulepatron. Chaver is a friend, and Patron means a supporter. You know, one who is behind, you know, every person in life needs emotional support. He needs guidance. And he needs someone who's there to turn to. And that's meant to be his father. His father is his best friend, his chaver. And that's why the word Av is used to refer to a father, when the real literal translation of the word Av is chaver. And again, if we had time, we would go through the Malbim and many others who study the etymology of Lashon Kodesh to see how this word Av means chaver and patron. Our ultimate chaver is whom? Who's the greatest patron that we have? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You remember that in Parashas Lech Lecha, Hashem commands Avram to do the milah, and Avram is very nervous about it. He's hesitant. And the reason Chazal says is because he thinks that after he does the meal, it's going to separate himself from the other nations. He'll lose all his friends, you know, his allies, in quotation marks. And Chazal say no. Hashem says, Anochi, I am your Kel. I am your God. And Chazal say on that pasuk, Anochi a patron. You have no other friends, but you have one major friend. And that's all we need, is one major friend. Now I want to share with you the insight.
God, what's that of?
Correct. Hashem is called Avinu. Why? Because He is our patron. He is the one who oversees and protects us. Now I want to share with you an insight of Rav Shimon Schwab. You all know who he was, especially if you come from New York, because there's a massive German community of Yekis, of Jews from Germany in Washington Heights, New York. And now they're moving a little bit out of Manhattan. They're going to Deal, New Jersey. Anyway, the Rav of that community was Rav Shimon Schwab. And he writes the following. On that pasuk in Vayigash, which says, V'ata lo atem shlachtem osi heina, they were very nervous, the brothers, thinking that it was because of what they did to Yosef that they got sent down to Mitzrayim. No, says Yosef, Elokim, right? Who sent me here? It was God who sent me here. Vayisimeni, and why did God send me down to Mitzrayim? Li'av, to make me the Av of Paro. What does it mean that I, Yosef, am the Av of Paro? Rashi said, L'chaver l'patron. Klomar. Pirushal Av al pi haTorah hu chaver upatron. According to Torah literature, or shall we say etymology, the word Av means the chaver and the patron. Lios libno haChaver haChitov, because who's the best friend of the son? It's his father, as we saw in Rashi in the parasha of Mesis. That it says Asher kenafshecha. Rashi quotes the Sifri ze avicha. The Ode, Mutal ala Av, Leos HaShomer VaPatron Achi Neman Lebno. So we have the father playing a double role, the two sides of the same coin. On the one hand, he's a chaver, he's a friend. And number two, he's reliable because he's the patron. The patron is the one who gives support, emotional, moral support, and guidance to his son. That's the ideal relationship of a father and a son. If we achieve that relationship, then we have a dveikus of the son with his father, and in the context of that dveikus expressing itself in the language that they use grammatically, it's going to be lashon nochach, the way Yaakov turns to his father and he says to his father, kum na. Kum na means he's talking to his father directly, not yakum avi, because yakum avi indicates a distance, which is typical of Esav and the Nachrim, not of Bnei Yisrael. Now let's fast forward to Parshas Vayetze. Vayomer Yaakov li Echov liktu avonim vayikhu avonim vayasu gal vayochlu sham alagol. Notice that Yaakov turns to Echov, to his brothers. Who is Yaakov addressing in this pasuk? He's not talking to Esav. I don't know if he had any other brothers, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Anyway, who's he talking to? to the Shvatim. No, nobody's with me on this. Okay, you can open up the Chumash if you have time. I just don't have the time now because we're trying to fit this all in. But be that as it may, the word Echav here refers to his children. So Rashi says, what do you mean Echav, his brothers? Haim Banav, these are his children. Shahayu lo achim nigashim elav litzara ulemilcham. Rashi quotes a Medrash Rabbah. And the Echav here is referring to Banav. So the children are called brothers. And he wants them to come close in order to gather together and unify themselves against any sort of challenge, any sort of adversary, and go out to battle against them. Here you want to turn to the second side of your page. You should have something from the Chidah. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. So it's on the top of your second page. And he says, Vayomer Yaakov li'echav liktu avonim pirush Rashi li'echav heim bonim shayu lo achim nigoshim litzolim l'chom l'amadnu she'yaakov avinu olav ha'sholom ha'yamachshiv. How did he treat or relate to his sons? As one ke'echav, like his brothers. We are working together towards one common goal and one common challenge. V'chein royally of... Wow, this is amazing. How should a father look upon his sons... Gedolim, once they get mature enough, ki'ilu heim echav, as if they were his brothers. That's an amazing chiddush here. You know, we're trained to think, oh, the father, the son, you know, they're two different relationships, they're very distant from each other. Today's thesis, based on Rav Nosson Adler and the Chidah, is the opposite. The relationship, the primary mode of the relationship between a son and his father is one of Achdus, of achva, of brotherhood, of treating each other out of the sense of achdus as if they were one individual, one nefesh. And therefore the father has to ideally treat and relate to his children as if they were his brothers. If that's the relationship between a father and a son, then they could work together in unison, and two is better than one. It's a partnership. Uksiv hine matov umanoim sheves achim gam yachtov. Now, why does it say gam? You know, I don't have to tell you this, that any time the word gam appears in the Torah, it means to include something that was not apparent. And you would think sheves achim yachtov is only a reference to achim, but here it says matov umanoim sheves achim gam. What's the gam over here? And the answer is that the gam includes your children. Your children, together with you, are Yeshvu, Noim, Sheves, Yachtov. The brothers here are not just your physical brothers, but rather it's your father together with the son. That too is a brotherly relationship. It's like two brothers. And he says that the Achim Gam, and here I need you to take out a calculator for me, unless you can do this very quickly, some people are very good at the math, is Bigmatria Bunin. If somebody could work that out, you know, the Chidah is usually pretty accurate in his mathematics. And here, if you notice, the Chidah quotes the Sefer HaChasidim. The Sefer HaChasidim was written many centuries ago, and he himself has this Gematria. So the Gematria was not invented originally by the Chidah, who lived in the 1700s, but much earlier by the Sefer HaChasidim. Okay. Now, many of you, if not all of you, have heard of the Rosh Hashiva Panovich, who passed away, I would say I'm guessing about 20 years ago, I don't know, Rav Menachem Shach, Man Shach. And he has a collection of essays called Lulei Toroscha. And we don't have a copy of the Lulei Toroscha, but there's a sefer that was written more recently called O.L. Moshe. And O.L. Moshe is a compilation, an anthology of the insights of Rav Shach in his Lulei Toroscha. And here it's Parshas Toldos. And in this quote, in the name of Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva tells a story about Echad Shepam Nitkal Bibachur Shesoval Bibes Horov. unfortunately, this young yeshiva student was suffering under the burden of having parents that were very critical. He calls them kapdan vinuksha. And you and I know very well that there are two types of parents. You know, some parents are very laid back. They give the child a sense of self, of self-confidence. They rely on the child. They believe in him. Others are very critical and strict. You know, they look at their child with magnifying glasses, you know, with a microscope, and they're not satisfied. They always find something negative. And this particular yeshiva bava was suffering from very critical parents. So Rav Shach calls in the parents, and they claim in front of the Rosh Yeshiva that their derech, their approach to raising children, is the right approach. Derech hanachona, this is the correct approach. Rav Shach says to them in a very diplomatic way, yitachen, you know, you want to confront them directly, but it's possible shatem toim shedarkechem shguya. The entire approach that you have to raising children is based on a mistake. It's the wrong way to go. I want you to hear the opinion of the Torah. And I'm going to give you, says Rav Shach, the view, the insight of the Torah. And he said the following. HaTorah Kedosha Hitila Al Ahorim Tafkid Kaful. Parents have to realize that they have a double responsibility in raising their children. On the one hand, they have to be horim, they have to be parents, but at the same time, machanchim, they have to be educators. V'zeh kefel tafkidim sheyesh bo ke'ein stira. He says at the face of it, these two roles and the responsibility of parents in these two capacities are mutually exclusive, because horim, parents, on the one hand, are meant to give ava. As we say, kerachem av al bonin, the primary mode of a relationship between a parent and a son is one of love. Whereas the Rav, the Machanech, Chazal tell us, zrok mora b'talbidim. The student should be in a state of fear, a distance relationship. You know, today again, things have changed. You know, so the Rebbeim go out and play ball with the children, with the students. But back in the day, it wasn't like that. You know, when we came into our salvation class, you know, we were tittering. I don't know how you say that in English. We were shaking. Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking, because, you know, if he called on you and you didn't know the Gemara well, you know, forget it. You know, he could just completely smash you, you know. So the Rav was taking the attendance one day and he called on Schwartz. I told you the story. So Schwartz didn't know what to do. So he said, Rebbe, Schwartz didn't come today. So the Rav says, okay, you read the Gemara. So Chivu Shehei Mora Harav Kimora Shamayim. The Chazal always compared the fear and the reverence we have for the Rebbe as the one that we have, the same reverence that we have for God in heaven. And when a student sits at the feet of his Rebbe, his Sfasov, Notvos, Merirus, you know, it's like his lips are shaking. And Gambe Misimak Fula Zu Horolanu Ma Yigbar Alma. With regard to parents raising their children, what is going to be the major role? What's primary, what's secondary? Should they put the emphasis on the avus, the love relationship, or the relationship of Machanech and Rav, which is one of Yira and fear? And Chazal say that the relationship between a child, and in this case his mother, Chazal say, but the same applies to a father, is Tehei Smol Docha V'Yamin Mekareves. Yamin, the right hand, always represents the primary. And the primary one should be, says Rav Shach, one of Kiruv. Yamin Mekareves. So that Smol Docha is inferior, secondary. And when the parents heard this, they were listening very intently, and they thought that Rav Shach was now finished with his presentation, but that wasn't enough. Rav Shach went on. And he says that kol zeh hayu bizmanim sha'avru. Everything that I told you is true for the old days, but in contemporary life, there's something totally different. Why? Because we live in the post-Yoshua ben Gamla period. What did Yoshua ben Gamla do? He created an educational system. And now, there's a whole different kind of relationship. Hufridu ha-tafkidim. I would underline those two words. Meaning, Now those two responsibilities of a parent have been split, and now we have an educational system in which the parents send away their child to learn in a cheder at a young age, and therefore the father now has appointed the melamed to teach his son, and he's given over to this to the melamed that responsibility of small docha, of mora and fear. And therefore, says Rashi, in our time, now the responsibility of a parent is purely one and single, and that is echad levat, leharif chom v'ava al bino. The purpose and the responsibility of a parent is totally love. It's a love relationship. And therefore, he turns to the parents and he says, Babayis, when the child is home in the house, tenaguimo besi ha'ava, relate to him with the utmost total love. Tavo l'krasa, anything that you can give towards him, you know, whatever you can, again, there's certain things that are absolutes, but beyond that, if he's not crossing the red line, then be forgiving and be forthcoming. Tiknu lo kol tzarcha, make sure that he has everything he needs, but most important is not the food that he eats, but the love that he gets in the house. And that's what he says to the parents. And he says, you know what? Send him back to yeshiva. Don't worry about, you know, the small docha. We have a mashgiach that'll take care of this. And he'll supervise your son. But what we need from you in the house is lahakrin, to generate or radiate love, chom, heat, warmth. Because in lokein, if you don't do so, here's where Rav Shach probably picked up his finger and he warned the parents. Olol hu lechapso b'mekomos acherim. He may look for warmth and love in the wrong places. He's got to get them in the house. And here I want to share with you another insight of the Torah's Moshe, quoting the Alshich. In the pasuk that we recite in Kriyat Shema, every day, twice a day, it says, "Vayu advarim ha'ilah sharanochi mitzava hayom al levavecha v'shinantam levanecha v'dibarta bom v'shitcha v'isecha v'letcha v'aderech shabchav kumecha." So take a look. When it says a relationship between someone who's transmitting Torah to his son, it says v'shinantam levanecha. It doesn't say v'limadetem levanecha, but rather v'shinantam levanecha. What does that mean? So the Chassam Sofer, quoting the Alshich, says the following. Bala Lamed, if you're following me in the text, it's on the top of the left column. Das, es kol chacham le, malame Torah liyamu Yisrael, chachma u'musa, whatever you're teaching to the people of Israel, whether it be the Torah itself, the halacha, whether it be the chachma, the wisdom of the Torah, the musa, the ethics of the Torah, yezeh klal gadol biyodam. What should be the overriding principle? What's your goal? What is the methodology of teaching Torah? Ki hikaneis divrei piyam b'lev shomeihem. Your goal is that when you teach Torah, the Torah should enter into the hearts and the souls of those who listen, those who receive your Torah. Ki chitzei gibar shnunim. The word shnunim, which is here codified or conjugated as vishinantam, shinunim, is a reference to chitzei gibar, which literally means when the archer shoots his arrow at the target and it enters, you know, it enters in. And it means it got to enter into his lave. And the ultimate goal is that the student should receive that Torah in his heart, b'chol lev, b'chol nefesh, and that's the way he should observe the Torah. He says, if it just goes that, you know, surface level and it doesn't really enter into his penetrate into his heart, he just hears it with his ears. That's not the goal. That's not the goal of transmitting Torah. If it only goes into his ears, it's not going to really be a profound commitment. But rather, will the process of teaching be successful or not? Says the Alshich, I'll give you the barometer. I'll give you the litmus test. It all depends on the following. He says the following. It depends on the way it comes from the source, from the teacher who's transmitting the Torah. if the way it goes is that it comes from the heart, is then Kain Yehilucho Menuchaso Asher Sham Yanuach. Just like it came from the heart, it was sincere, it was from a sense of love, then that's how it's going to be received on the receiving end. The way it goes out is the way it goes in. Ki im yu advarim yotzim mipi amalami Torah mochiya pemisha mikarev limo. If when a person teaches Torah, it's something that he does from the love that comes from his heart, came out lev, so too it will travel to the lev of the shomim, to the recipient. Kechitze gibar shinunim, that's called v'shinantam levanecha. V'sham yanucha, and there it would penetrate into the heart. Ach im asher yotziyam lo yeh mikarev limbo ki im pel peh yedaber. If on the other hand it's going to be just superficial communication, or shall I say transmission of information, mi pel peh, that's it, then it's not going to penetrate into the heart of the recipients. Bachutz yamod, they're really alien, they're really on the side, and pre baldi asuna will really not create peros. So the ultimate goal of education, of training, of teaching Torah and transmitting it, is that it should be from the lave into the lave. And that's going to be a permanent impact. Now, before we go on here to see the Chizkuni, I would like to read to you from a piece about education. And this appears in the art scroll. I got it online from Rabbi Daniel Glatstein. I never met this rabbi, but I'd like to publicly thank him. And he quotes from a book about Rav Meir Chodosh. Rav Meir Chodosh was the mashgiach in the Mir Yeshiva towards the end of his life. He had been a mashgiach in other yeshivas before. And this is an autobiography that's published by Art Scroll about the mashgiach. I'm just going to quickly read it to you. It's not that long, so hopefully you'll be able to hear it. I ran out of paper, so I couldn't photocopy it for you. His school of educational thought was fundamental. He did not stick to conventional intuitive wisdom. He was very original in his approach. Again, we're talking about this Rav Meir Chodosh, paving new and previously unthought of directions. And he would say the following. People think that the measure of a good, successful mashgiach is one who succeeds in catching a student in the act of committing a crime. I have a story to tell you about that after we finish. Educators consider it a success when they catch a student red-handed. But this is a grave error. If you catch a person and scold him, he immediately becomes, what's the next word?
Defensive.
Defensive, exactly. Like a citizen standing in front of a police officer, he'll try to justify his acts with all sorts of excuses. That's not the way to achieve remorse and correction. As long as the student believes and explains that his fault is not, you know, he believes that his fault has not been detected. Now, this is because the mashgiach is not looking to catch the student. So if the student thinks that he hasn't been caught, then there's still a good chance that next time around, because of his sense of shame, he'll be able to conquer his evil inclination, because he still has something to lose. He hasn't been caught yet. As long as he hasn't been caught yet, you know, he's going to fight within himself to overcome, the Yetzer Hara. Therefore, you must always give the student an opening to return through in order to begin to change, for him to begin to change and grow. Now, the story is told about the mashgiach that there was a case of theft in a dormitory. And the son of Rav Meir Chodosh says that his father instructed, I guess it was the principal of that school, not to insist that the girl admit or confess her crime. And he answered, you have to give a person the possibility of hiding behind something. And he goes on to say that father always emphasized to me and to his students and other teachers of Torah and Musa that we must see the good side in every student. And he says the student that you catch in an improper behavior is a student you've lost. His prime principle, his overriding principle was, don't catch people in their errors. Don't say everything that you think. Sometimes you have to not see something, not hear something, not react to something. As long as the student doesn't know everything that you know about him, he's capable of listening, of accepting, and changing. But from the moment that he knows all your thoughts, meaning that he knows you know that he's guilty, he does not have the motivation and the sufficient ambition to change his ways. Every yeshiva bacha has to have room to retreat. He has to have the possibility of bouncing back in the area in which he failed in a very self-respecting way. And then he finally finishes by saying that once, when father was out of town, someone came to tell him that two boys in the yeshiva were standing at a nearby intersection trying to hitch a ride. Now, hitching a ride was not something that was acceptable. So the Mashgiach went to the place together with the informer. He came close enough to see where the boys were standing, hitching, and he immediately turned his back. His companion asked, isn't it worthwhile for the Rav to go over to the boys and reprimand them? I already know what I know, he replies, but they don't have to know what I know. It's a very interesting approach to education, and I think it reflects this concept of the primary mode of love. And let's go back to the Chizkuni, which you'll see on page 2 on the pasuk in the parsha in Baloscha of the Bechorim. The Levim, as you know, were chosen to replace the Bechorim. V'etnas ha-Levim nesunim li'arnu l'bonov. So it says V'ekach v'salevim tachas kol Bechor b'bnei Yisrael. Levim were meant to replace the Bechorim. Says the Chizkuni Shem, Hayu kol ha-Bechorim ovdim, if all the Bechorim would be in charge of the Avodah in the Mishkan, in the Migdash, yiyah bohem negev. It would not be a good thing. Why? Sharei aviv shel zeh bechor shema hu lo haya bechor, v'lo avi aviv, v'lo hurgalu ba-Avodah. The prime goal of Avodah is to train generation after generation in the Avodah. And in the case of Bechorim, there's no training that is passed on through the hereditary genes from father to son, because the father may or may not have been a Bechor. When this Bechor, whose father was not a Bechor, his grandfather wasn't a Bechor, he comes to do the Avodah, Eino Baki, he's not an expert, V'nizar, but he doesn't know how to be careful about the Avodah, and therefore he might mess up the Avodah, and if he does so, V'nige, if there'll be some sort of catastrophic repercussion, as we saw in the case of Nodav Aviv. But what's the advantage of the Levim, says the Chizkuni? Once they were chosen, it was Hema, B'nei'em, B'nei V'nei'em, L'chol Adoros. And therefore, Hurgalu, V'huzaru, B'avodosom, La'sosom, Mishkat. They were trained and then pass that on to the next generation. And in that sense, the Torah says, we're going to enjoin the Levim from participating in the finances and having a chelek and a nachla in Eretz Yisrael. We want them to be totally, exclusively dedicated to the Avodas HaKodesh, not to be distracted by any other malacha. And in that way, the zeros, the very arms of the Levim, it's for Oseim, even their fingers, are those for kashos. Because if they get distracted with other kinds of malacha, then they won't have the sensitive arms and the sensitive fingers that will allow them to implement the avodah yuchlu lachufan. They won't be able to bend their fingers in a way, in a very sensitive way, to play the navel and the chinar. And that's sheer, you know, that the main, well, the Levim were actually split into two groups. So one group were the Meshorerim, and therefore Lavodas Avodas B'nai Yisrael. This is the Avodah in which the Levim are representing all of Klal Yisrael. And now, by appointing the Levim as a replacement to the Bechorim, Lo Yeh B'nai Yisrael Negev, the Pasuk says there won't be any catastrophe because of this transmission, the education from one generation to the other. And here we have a question about Derech Eretz. He says the following: Im rotzim lashpi al yeladim Derech Eretz, If we want to train our children in the ethical way to be upright citizens, ha-hechrechu sha-yeladim yir'u et ha-anhaga shel derechetz etzel avim ve'imam. The key of keys to successful education and child rearing is that the parents play the role as a paradigm, as a personification, as a dugma. Ha-orim tzrichim lechabed et ha-yeladim. The parents should treat their children with respect. And if that happens, and if they speak to them with a lashon of kavod, then the children in turn, reciprocally, will treat their parents with respect. And one of the greats of the previous generation said that I saw my mother, may she rest in peace, kama asiras toda hoisa, she was so, you know, expressed a deep, profound gratitude, kasher, a genuine gratitude, kasher hayiladim silku mashu me'al ha-shulchan. Imagine the children help clear off the table on Leil Shabbat after the Suda, and she would never stop praising them and expressing her gratitude. Bircha osanu, she gave us blessings, v'hodas alanu, and she thanked us so much, profusely, for helping clear off the table. And b'der kal b'erev Shabbat, she's true to ma'od v'gam ha'yefa, she's very tired when she gets to the meal on Friday night. And now, she asks her children for some help. And hoya kol tamid b'derech kavod, she would always ask in a very respectful way, please, do you have the ability to help me? We olam lo shamanu mimenu shum tza'aka, she never yelled at us, unless there was sakana, there was some sort of danger. Again, I'm reading here from page 3. And therefore, to prevent the child from a danger, let's say the child ran out into the middle of the street, then she would yell and scream. But other than that, she would never raise her voice. She would always treat us with the greatest respect. And if the child listens and he sees this hanhaga, this way the parent treats them, and not only that, she sees or he sees in his parents the way the parents treat their parents, the grandparents, that's the most influential and powerful impact that you can have on a child. Haklal, he says the principle is tzorech lechanech benachas. We have to teach and guide our children in a calm, respectful way. And he says the same thing really should apply in our time to the Malamed. The Malamed should have this kind of love for his children. I can tell you Rabosai from my grandchildren, because very often I come to bring them to cheder. You know, there are various occasions where they invite the grandparents. I don't know if it's for fundraising purposes, but anyway. So, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen the most successful Malamdim, how they love the children. It's just mind-boggling. You see a Malamid who's a man possibly in his 60s or 70s, you know, with all the regalia and the way he loves these young children and he kisses them and hugs them. It's really amazing. My friend Rabbi Shurin told me about his grandfather, that his grandfather back in Sitiv Yan, you know, back in the old country, when he studied in Cheder, the Malamed had a whip, and the whip was hung up on the ceiling. But Rabbi Yaakov said he never ever saw the Malamed take the whip down. All he did was, if necessary, he pointed to the whip. That was it. My father used to, you know, he used to loosen his belt, but I never saw him take it off. My mother, that's a little different, but we won't get into that. In any event, this is a very profound approach to the relationship between a father and a son. It's a little bit counterintuitive for us. It means a relationship of Ava, of Vayelchu Shneim Yachdav, as we discussed it. And Amir Hashem, we should be zocher to that kind of a relationship, that kind of raising children out of a sense of love and kavod and respect and compassion, and always considering the sensitivity that we have to have towards the child's needs. And if we do that, Amir Tzashem, it'll really be v'shinantam levanecha. It'll be a oneness and a closeness between a parent and a child. Will reach that beautiful goal that we all strive for. Okay, then that's what we're going to do now. We'll take a little bit. There's a Gemara in Sukkah, an Agadita, about a woman by the name of Miriam Bas Bilna, who became an apostate. Hey, Mira Dasa v'holcha v'niseis l'sedyot. She got married to some some officer in the Malachas HaYevarim in the Greek hierarchy. And the Yevarim went into the Heichal, right? This is the time of the Greeks, and they defiled the Heichal. She would bang with her shoe on the mizbeach and declare, "Lucas, Lucas, admosai atom chalam amonim shel Yisrael viata omer aleim b'shasat chak." Here the Jews are being tortured and being destroyed, and all you do, the mizbeach, is to consume the finances of Klal Yisrael. Kshashamu chacham b'davar kavu es Tabata v'sosmu es chalona. So what did the Chachamim do? I guess, what do we do to the houses of the terrorists? You know, we close them up. V'yesh omrim mishamroso shoelavo v'nichnas. Okay, unfortunately the print here is way too small for my eyes, so I can't make it out. But basically, what we want to get out of this Gemara is the final statement of Abaye, who says, "Oilish l'rasha oilish chena." And here we want to quote the Levush. The Levush was the Baal. He created his own Shulchan Aruch called the Levush. His name was Rav Mordechai Yaffe, and he writes that before we start learning or studying Divrei Torah, we have to recite Birchas HaTorah. We have to be very careful about Birchas HaTorah. Laharos shatorah hi chashuva b'einenu. Every person has to express how important the Torah is. Nena mimenu, he enjoys the Torah. And just like he's mevarech al kol hanaosav, he says so too, he has to be mevarech on the pleasure that he gets from learning Torah. Im eino mevarech aleha, eino zocha leben tamid chacham. If he doesn't have this gishmak and the sincerity when he recites the brachas, then heaven forbid he won't have children who are talmidei chachamim, mida, onesh mida, keneged mida. He's not studying the Torah. He's not enjoying the Torah. It's like studying any other discipline. Asmechu Rabbanan Akroy, the Yirmiyah Miha Ish Hachacham, the Yoven Ezos, Vasher Dibra Hashem Elov, Alma of the Oretz, Vayomer Hashem Al Ozvom Es Torasi. And the Gemara says in the Darim, what does it mean, Al Ozvom Es Torasi? Why did they go into Golus? Because Lo Birchu Batora Tchilo. So the Novi is telling the Chachamim and other Nevi'im and Malachi Asharis that why can't you answer the question Ma of the Oretz? Why was the nation sent into Golus? Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said Vayomer Hashem al Ozvom es Torasi Shelo Birchu Batorah Tchila V'Nirsha Perusho Shaholchu Miloshon Tiul V'Shashua. That when it says halicha, it means they went on a trip to enjoy it. Kamo v'salachti b'sochachem, klomar shelo choshvu limuda l'til v'hanor. They didn't consider Torah as if they're going on an exciting tour. And for the sake of pleasure, rak le'umnus v'lo l'shma, v'lo ratzu l'frosh. And they didn't want to enjoy the Torah to its fullest and make the blessing with the genuine sincerity. And he says that that's what we have to do. He says, "Vaday roi sheyu oskim v'Torah." We have to dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah out of a sense of simcha and hanor. And if not, we can lose chas v'shalom the land. Lefichach shamamu aleh akol v'lo yodu lefarsho ad shepirsha kodesh baruch hu bi'atzmo shehu yodeh kol en estoros v'yodeh shayu mevarchim all of tchila b'bnei shlo hoysa chashuva b'neim rak oskuba ke'umnus bi'alma v'shalo l'shma. So this, I think, also fits into what we said before about the love relationship that we have to have, the excitement and the enthusiasm in studying in Torah, and certainly in passing on the Torah and transmitting it to the next generation. That's what's going to make an impact. As we saw that it's in the name of the Alshit, that if it comes out of the heart, it goes into the heart, it makes a permanent and indelible relationship or impact on the heart, and that's going to have tremendous repercussions down the line. Okay, then we'll stop here.